Well, as we all know very well, everything deteriorates physically, chemically, in its own way, at its own speed. And much to our concern, many of the materials in our care are well along that inevitable path. We can't change these laws of physics, but we can certainly better understand them and manage them. And that's where our next guest comes in today. Dr. Fenella France is an international specialist on environmental deterioration and chief of the Preservation Research and Testing Division at the Library of Congress. Before assuming her current position, she was the research scientist for the Star-Spangled Banner Project at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History, and a consultant to several other cultural heritage institutions. This morning, she'll report on the research and testing of AV media at the Library of Congress. Please welcome Dr. Fenella France.
And I will confess that when I looked at the screen and put mine on, I renamed it France so I could find it. Well, thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you, George. And I just want to briefly mention just some of the research we're working on. It's very gratifying to follow Jean and colleagues talking about the preservation plan to go forward. And I'm looking forward to actually working more closely with my colleagues at Culpeper, because up till now we've been doing research, but I want to make sure it's more integrated with what's really needed in the industry. The mission of the Preservation Directorate is to assure long-term access to the library's collection, either in their original or reformatted form. So what we're really working with is what is the requirement for the preservation of those physical materials. And up till now, there's been a very disconnect between the physical being more related to traditional in terms of paper and parchment, and not so much of a focus on the modern media, which, of course, as we all know, is much a higher risk. Also, we have over 147 million items. Sometimes one item may be a box of discs or CDs or papers, so it's really a much greater collection number than that. In the Preservation Research and Testing Division, PRTD, we're actually using scientific research to assess the chemical and physical analysis of materials, looking at characterizing the deterioration of modern materials, what the risk is to the various formats, and trying to develop flow tools to assist workflow. And that's where it becomes critical to work with our colleagues in terms of what's relevant for the work that they are doing in the collection care. And another interesting and very necessary area is the predictive aging of materials, both natural aging and accelerated, because of course there's a lot of focus on accelerated aging, but we need to ensure that that actually matches and reflects what's happening in natural aging. And all of this comes back to the control of the environment, because if we don't control the environmental parameters that these materials are stored in, then we aren't going to be able to have them there as we develop tools and be able to move forward with the preservation. We have also finally managed to integrate, I don't know if you're aware, but the library does often work in quite a siloed approach. And one of the challenges is trying to cross over various divisions. And up till now, the Preservation Directorate has sort of been dealing with the physical materials, OSI working with the digital preservation. So we finally got together a working group as one of the annual objectives to cross over that and bring together those two groups. And as part of that, we've been looking at the digital management life cycle and have managed to get a higher focus on what the needs are of the physical formats. Because as we all know, if we don't have those physical formats there, the information on them is lost, and that's the critical component. So I'm very quickly going to just run through some of the areas of research that we're working on. I'd be very interested to hear from you about other areas that we are not currently looking at, because we want to develop a more comprehensive approach to the research we're taking. And these areas that I'll mention are looking at sticky shed in terms of magnetic tape, optical discs and degradation rates and identification of various dyes on those. I'll briefly mention Irene, which you all know about, and also an area which I'm very interested in moving forward into, which is getting a standardized testing approach to assessing the longevity of storage media so that we actually know that we don't have to have such a high migration rate. So looking at magnetic tape, this initially came back to, I don't know how many of you know about the Heritage Health Index. This was a survey that was undertaken with cultural institutions a number of years ago to identify what materials were in collections and what they actually had and what the risk was. At that stage, they identified 46 million tapes, and I would almost guarantee that it's much, much higher than that, because I know one of the challenges is being able to actually access and accurately survey our collections, and that applies to large institutions as well as small. Current evaluation methods for the magnetic tape are visual inspection. It can be played. If it squeals or flakes, it's removed and treated with baking. And that process can actually render it unusable, all of which you're all aware of. The initial research by Bert von Zeltz was looking at using GPC, which is a technique to assess the molecular weight. And it was very clear that as the tapes become sticky, the molecular weight or the length of the polymers starts to degrade and break down. So we're getting fragmented components of the polymer. Looking at the morphology, and this is an area I really want to go into more, is trying to assess and link the physical and the chemical degradation. So this is actually a scanning electron microscope, a very high, high magnification microscope image of the actual tape itself, when you can see how the edges are starting to flake away. And then we can go in closer up and really start to look at those, what's happening in the various layers as the degradation occurs. So linking that physical and chemical component. Here's another image on the left of a tape before it was baked, and you can start to see these raised areas. When it's after the tape is baked, those components start to degrade, to flatten down into the tape, back into the tape itself. So that actually allows it to be played after the baking. However, post that, they actually raise up again. And that's one of the challenges we're really hoping to talk more with manufacturers and talk with you all, because if we can recreate it, we then know how to treat it. And that's been one of the challenges, is trying to actually recreate sticky shed from scratch. I know that probably sounds like a weird aim, but we do strange things. And those these raised areas seem to be quite carbon rich. So we're really trying to determine is what part of the plasticizer, which component of the composite is contributing to this. So as you know, the NAVCC has a large collection of tapes and are actively migrating those. So this is one of the areas that they're interested in. The infrared spectroscopy actually does we can do a scan of what's really happening and which peaks are changing. The challenge is that sometimes those peaks, some will change and others will change differently depending on what the composition of the tape is. So how do we actually quantify that? This was work that was developed by Steve Hobaker, and he managed to get to about a 75% accuracy rate for predicting. Taking that one level further, we've been pushing further forward into a non-invasive way of actually assessing those tapes and trying to customize it so we can move forward more effectively and more quickly. And what we really need to be able to do is develop a chemometrics approach where we're essentially taking a survey of hundreds and hundreds of tapes so we can start to separate out the signature of a sticky or a degraded versus a non-degraded tape. And we've now got that to the point where that's 98% accurate. But as you all know, this has to be a tool that's actually applicable and usable by the industry. And that's really what we're trying to do now, is make that a functional one. There'll be a database that people could add to, but it needs to be something that's really helpful and usable. And to do that, you can see, I know I hate tables like this. This was given to me by a colleague. But one of the challenges we need is to access unopened tapes so we can start to validate what the components and what the various areas of those are, and be able to characterize the unopened tapes and link them to the ones we're seeing that are in collections that are sticky. So if anyone's interested, I'd be happy to talk with you at some point. I'll leave you my email address there as well. And in order to do this, to move forward with this, we need to automate the software, try and correlate these differences to chemical changes, and address other tape types, because at the moment we're really just working with one tape type as the prototype for this. I want to mention our Centre for Library Analytical Scientific Samples, or CLASS. My director's very good at creating acronyms. And this is actually a physical collection of materials, all sorts of materials from paper, parchment, inks, adhesives, tapes. And we're really trying to expand this collection. All of the collection will be made available to anyone who wants to loan that at any time, and all of the analyses will be on the Class D, which is actually the digital access to all of the data collected from that. I have the prototype for the database and the structure, RDF structure, and we hope to have a portion of that up on the website within about 3 to 4 months. So this is something we're really hoping to make available and useful for the industry. Moving on to optical discs, we started a natural aging study on these in 1996, and this was to look at the degradation and also assess the impact of handling and storage. And this is just, you can see the discs by year that were collected as part of that. And then we were assessing the blur, the block error rate, from those over the different years, and you can see that that tends to increase as the years go on, but not hideously. The second natural aging study in 2005 was really to gain a better representation of the LC collections and a broader observation of that. And one thing I do want to note is that we, in, because of the various divisions and how they actually access their collections, quite often collections, you know, it's much easier for them to catalogue, this is the papers of James Madison, da 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 da. When it comes to a disc, they simply say it's a disc. They don't even say whether it's a CD or a DVD in some divisions. So this is one of the challenges we're facing, trying to find out how many floppy disks, how many, all of these different formats, what do we really have in our collections? And that's where we need to move forward and get a better understanding of that. So this is a snapshot. We did 1,271 disks over about 20 years. About 400 of those had almost really aged more than 10 years, and 19 of those had a blur error rate of greater than the ISO standard. So that was about 1.5% failure.
Are these commercial CDs or CDRs?
These are CDRs, yeah. And then in terms of recordable media, this was actually a collaboration with NIST based on a standard. And they actually added a different exposure condition. So we were really trying to look at what the impact of relative humidity and temperature was on these. And what we found was, of course, as you probably already know, the CDs are more stable, generally because there's less information in one spot, so you're going to lose less in cause of damage and degradation. And this also led to the development of a new test method for recordable DVDs. So an overview, we have natural aging, we have accelerated aging. Sorry, I've just been given a time thingy, so I'm just going to scoot through some of this. But also looking at laser engraving and adhesives on labels as we move forward with these more research in these various formats. Also visual examination of them. I just wanted to quickly note that while you may look at something and think it's a gold disc, there are a lot of gold discs out there that are made to look gold, and in fact they are not. So please don't be fooled by that. We actually did a lot of that with XRF and found that out. And one of the things we're looking at now is trying to analyse the stability of various dyes, azo dyes, the phthalocyanine, and have been able to separate those out into various groups, as you can see here. One of the challenges is, of course, some of those groups overlap, but trying to actually be able to get a visual assessment of those dyes so we can very easily assess knowing which dyes are more stable than other ones. I'm just going to scoot through this. You can see here these two discs were originally exactly the same after aging. One, the reflector completely oxidized, so this is some of the accelerated aging work that we are doing. And then, of course, the spectra from those. The spots on the left-hand side here, you can see, in fact, that they're matching the high map error rates on the right, so we're really trying to move forward with this sort of research into how we're assessing the changes we're seeing. And of course the, doesn't want to go back, looking at pinhole errors, which is of course common, sometimes referred to as CD rot. And moving forward, this is an area we're just starting to move into. I'm doing a meta-analysis of all the storage media research that is out there, trying to assess how we can actually accurately compare and contrast what research there is and what it really tells us about those areas. And for current and future work, we're looking at determining the rates of degradation for the formats, looking at the longevity of common storage media, because I know that's one of the big challenges, The training, as which has already been mentioned, there's a considerable lack of that in various conservation and preservation science programs, and we really need to focus and get a higher input into that, and looking at developing non-invasive tools with spectral imaging and some other components that we have. So thank you very much. I'm allowed one question. Certainly, and I can add some notes in there as well. So I think my email address is Ian George, and various people have my email.
Great question. We have to move on, but thank you very much. The unfortunate thing about the ARTS conference these days is that there's too much information for 3 days, which is why several years ago we moved to a two-track system, and perhaps we may move to more tracks in the future. It's unfortunate that we have to limit, out too late last night. It's unfortunate that we have to limit our presentations in this way, but Dr. Franz, Jean, Brenda, everybody who's speaking today will be available for subsequent questions.